Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent and off position. I've entitled this morning's message, Living a Sanctified Life. Living a Sanctified Life. You see, it was obvious to me that this lady was opposite of having a sanctified life. You see, I saw this person that was in bondage, that needed Christ, that needed to be set free. She was angry, she was abusive, she was vulgar, and every other word was the bomb word. And I felt God saying to me, when you got saved, it was my will that you live a sanctified life and allow me to work through you and in you. And so we're going to see that as believers, we still have a choice to allow God to move and work, and that He would fulfill His purpose and His will for our life. Can I get amen? But yet the world doesn't have a clue of what a sanctified life means. They have no clue. And for 37 years for me now, it's been joy unspeakable. Because prior to that, you all know my testimony, I don't need to go there. It wasn't a sanctified life. It was a life that was part of the world. And the world's not sanctified. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And I hope this message speaks to us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
These scriptures that I'm going to be reading today, we're going to be reading quite a few, is to help build your faith up. Can I get amen? It's to lift you up. It's to let you know what? God's way is better. How many believe that God's way is better? He has the better plan. He has the best plan. And so, let's look at this right now. Here we go. Romans 12, 1 through 2, it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so we have an obligation now. We have a reasonable service to what? Present us back to God a living sacrifice, holy. What does holy mean? It doesn't mean that you have holes in your socks. It doesn't mean that there's holes in your clothes. No, it means set apart. God sets you apart. He saves you, and then He sets you apart from the world. Isn't that something? Something that we would have never have dreamed of, or how God does it. He does it in a way where it's not immediate, but it's active, it's progressive, it's changing, it's transforming. And we're going to look at this. Look at this in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, meaning this world has its way of living. It has its own way of thinking. It has its philosophies. It has its politics. It has everything in this world. But be transformed, look at this, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the what?
Perfect
will. See, it's God's will. It's not our will. It's God's will that you be conformed to his image. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, saints, the Bible describes a sanctified life as one set apart by God. Okay? I need you to take note of that. Set apart by God, cleansed from sin, and continually being transformed into the what? Likeness of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's God working mightily. The day you gave your heart to Jesus, he's at work. Can I get an amen? Did you know before you gave your heart to Jesus, he's steadily pursuing you? He's chasing after you. He's knocking at your door. He gives you signs. He puts divine appointments before you until he finally has you. And then you surrender. So let's look at this. Let's look at God's will and command. It's a command from God that we live a sanctified life now. How do we do it? We do it his way. We do it biblically. We apply the scriptures to our life. You see, it cannot be what someone says. It has to be what God has said. Can I get amen? When God says it, then take it up with him. When someone tells you something, now you can throw a tomato at him. Okay? You could debate. You could engage in disagreement. But when God says it, there's no higher authority than him. You can't take it any further. You got to go to God. You got to let God be God. So, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Let's look what that reads. For this is the will of God. Okay, once again, turn to your neighbor, not your will. Turn to your neighbor at your other side, not your will. Okay, so it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. You see that? That you should abstain from sexual immorality. See, here's the problem with the world. Here's the problem with TV, movies, billboards. This world says it's okay to fornicate. It's okay to cheat on your wife. It's okay to have premarital sex. But that's not what God says. That's not living a sanctified life. Because for singles, if you're sanctified, you say, I'm reserving myself until we come to that altar. Can I get amen? And say our I do's. But look at this, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. God wants us to walk in honor of what he's doing in your life. You know what? I want to boast in God. Say, God, look how you changed me, God. It's not for people to see. It's for God to, you point back to God. God, thank you for the change. Thank you that I don't lust after this no more. I don't go after that no more. Because it's you that changed me. See, you want to deflect it back to him. He needs to have all the glory, right? Amen. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. You know, Gentiles are unbelievers. They don't know God, so they don't have a clue what I'm saying right now to you. They have no clue to these scriptures. Why? Because they're not spiritually discerned. They're walking in darkness. They cannot see light. They can't even hear it. Do you know they can't even hear God's word? Why? Because they're unregenerated. They're still in their dead state. Their soul has to be activated by God, by faith. Look at 1 Peter 1:12. Let's go there. 1 Peter 1:13. Look at this. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be what? Sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is what? Brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. Okay, that's us. As obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust. Meaning, when you get saved, you can't go back out there and sleep around again. You can't go watch those X-rated things again. You can't do those things. You can't go into the bars and drink again. Why? Because those were your former lusts. Those of you that have been delivered out of homosexuality, you can't go back there again. If he's delivered you, don't go back. That's what the Word of God says. And if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with God, because I'm just reading you the Scripture. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. So in other words, when we were in the world, we were ignorant. In other words, we didn't have truth in us. So we did what our flesh pleased to do. And what did our flesh please to do? All the things contrary to God. The opposite of God. But now when you come to the other side with him, you don't want to do those things no more. Why? Because I enjoy living this sanctified life now. I'm not in bondage to that lust no more. Look at this. But as he called you, look at this. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for what? I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God's holy. So how many want to be like Jesus? Amen. Okay, learn. Learn to be holy like him. He's a holy God. He wasn't a worldly man. He abstained from a lot of things. Did you know that God doesn't change? See, we are the ones that change. But God never changes. We always think, oh God, I want you to conform to me. This is how I think. No, we are to conform to God. Why? Because it tells us right up here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So that right there lets me know, you know what, God? You don't change. I need to change. Can I get an amen? And I need your help. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your spirit. I need your wisdom. I need your word. Look what Malachi 3:6 says. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. My goodness. You know, we just read, let's go back here again. Jesus Christ is the what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So let me ask you this. From the time of Moses to our present day, has God changed? So what was instructed for them still pertains to us today, don't it? Especially to love your parents. You know, the Ten Commandments, remember when he came down from Mount Sinai? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not do all these things. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, covet. All these things. They still pertain to it. You know what? If the whole nation followed those Ten Commandments, there'd be very little chaos in our world. But they've kicked God out of the schools. They've kicked him out of our institutions. They kicked him out of our public arena. You can't speak about Jesus. You could talk about Allah all day long. They don't have a problem with that, or Confucius. But you start talking about Jesus, they don't want to hear it. No, you can't talk about that here. Well, turn with me to Leviticus 20. Look what Moses said. Look at this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of the descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. During this time, who was Molech? And what were they doing here? I'm reading a portion. We're going to read a little further. They were throwing their babies into the fire with Molech. They were worshiping a false god, and then they were throwing their babies into the fire. Wow.
All the babies are just the babies?
Oh, no, the ones that... They would bring many. Look here. Verse 3. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, look at verse 5. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people, and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech, and the person who turns to mediums. You know what mediums are? Drive around, and they're the palm readers, the tarot readers, those who read horoscope. You read your horoscope every day? Stop it. Drop it. That's against the law of God. Look at this. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits. These are wicked demons. Did you know movies that show nothing but violence and killing and bloodshed? Those are demons behind it. Because all they want to do is kill and murder. God gives life. He doesn't kill you like that. Wow. Look at this. I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Then he says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. What is God saying to us today? To be holy. And let me just say this. During this time, when they were throwing their babies in the fire, has that changed today? No. 70 million babies and counting have been aborted in our country. And there is bloodshed. And the blood is crying out from the ground. Just like Cain and Abel. Whose blood was crying out? Abel's blood was crying out. God said, I hear his blood crying out to me. Don't you think all 70 million plus are crying out to God for vengeance? My goodness. We live in a nation, we think that we're the strongest nation in the world, and our current president, yeah, I did vote for him, but guess what? He's boasting how strong, how mighty we are. Humble yourself, brother. Humble yourself. Yeah, we may have this and that, but humble yourself. Walk in humility. Before we fall. Take heed lest you what? You fall. In pride. And so let's look at the process. Look at this. Let's look at the process of transformation. We read this scripture. We're going to read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies at what? A living sacrifice. We got that right. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed. Once again, don't let this world get a hold of your spirit, of your mind. The world is infected. It's infected with all kinds of licentiousness, iniquity, darkness. It's demonic. The movies right now, you can't watch a decent movie without someone in bed that's not married, someone killing someone, and all these bleepity bleepity bleep. Wow. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is doing something unique in each and every one of us. He is transforming us into his image. Did you know that we were created in his image? So if we're created in his image, guess what he wants from us? He wants us to surrender everything to him, to allow him to do what he's going to do in your life. His perfect will. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church here. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't done yet. You ain't done yet over there. Yeah. We're going to be complete when he comes. And we will be just like him. Can I get an amen? We'll have that new body. We'll be just like him. But right now, he's working on you. He's working on your attitude. He's working on your anger issues. He's working he's working with your children. Come on. Oh, yes, he is. He's working in every aspect. Some of us overeat. Look at me. I'm talking about my own self here. I won't talk about you, but I'll talk about me, okay? Listen. Every one of us has issues that he's working on. But are we going to allow him to work on us? Huh? Some of us get jealous right away. Some of us get covetous and we get envious. I've always said this. The person that's building the pool next door, don't come home and say, man, I want to get one too. No, just go bake a couple pies and bring them over. They'll let you go swimming and you bring some pies. Save you $100,000. That's how much they cost. The average one, $100,000. And so look at this. Verse 7, look at this. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Paul had the church in heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, inasmuch as both in my chains, when he was even in prison, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of my grace, of grace. Listen, we just prayed for this beautiful family, what they're going through right now. And we need to be a part. We need to partake with them in their mourning. Can I get an amen? And comfort them. Come alongside. This is Paul was saying to the church. Partake of the grace of God. Every one of us is going to go through something. Can I get amen? Every one of us. We're not immune to trials. We're not immune to heartaches and heartbreak. Every one of us is going to go through similar situations of life that are going to be heart-drenching, heartbreaking. Some of us is going to leave us like someone slapped us about 5-6 times and just walked away. God help us. God help us. You see, the Bible indicates that sanctification, it's a lifelong, spirit-led process of being set apart from sin and transformed in the likeness of Christ. That's what we're being transformed to and into, is to be like him. It's to be like Jesus. It involves both a complete cleansing by God's grace, and guess what? Your active obedience to it. We have to obey. We have to say, okay, God, I see the way. I see what you want for me. Help me obey you, God. You ever ask God, help me obey? Because you can't obey all by yourself. No, your flesh says, no. Mm-mm. No, I want to watch that. No, I want to say that. No, I want to be mad. Some of us want to be mad for no reason. And no one has to teach you that. It comes automatically, doesn't it? So this is where you need God. Say, God, God, sanctify my heart. Oh God, allow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Oh God, allow that to operate in my life. Help me with that. And get all the anger and the clamor and the bitterness and all those things that keep you in bondage, that God would deliver you and drive those things out of your heart. Why? Because it's destructive. It's destructive. And the last thing you want, married couples that are here, is a spouse walking out on you because they can't take it no more. You know, there's scriptures in the Bible that it's better for a man to be in the forest than to be in the house with a bickering wife. A nagging wife. Oh yeah, that's in Proverbs. Yeah, it's in Proverbs. Or a man would rather be on the top of a roof than to be with a woman that's squawking all day long. Oh, come on. You know what? You know, when I was reading that, I said, God, what do you got there for the dude? What about us? You know what I heard God say? Learn from this for yourself, too. It works both ways. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. There's no out for the brothers. There's no out for us. We got to line up, too. Can I get an amen? Okay, so let's move on. Let's look at God's will and work. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at this. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us what? How you ought to walk and how to please God. Okay, so this lets us know we have to do something to please God. Can I get an amen? Look at this. For you know what, you know how to. Yeah, let me go back to verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Okay? So, when you point someone and says your, there's three pointing right back at you. That means you too. Can I get amen? Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that you should what? Know how to possess his own vessel and sanctification and honor. Now look at this next verse. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may God of peace himself sanctify you what? Halfway?
Yeah. All the way.
Or no way. you know, probably... You know, God says, I'll let you keep this vulgar language. No! He wants all of it gone. Completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine. I'm just going to paint a picture here. You're in your home. And you're arguing with someone. Blah, 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 blah. And then Jesus comes. Boom. The rapture takes place. And you're right in the middle of an angry heart. How does that work? And so, it says right up here, that may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of your Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God will do exactly what he intended to do if you allow him. He's a gentleman. He didn't make us like robots, right? He didn't make you danger, danger, Will Robinson. No, you're not a robot. Oh, some of you, that just went right over your head. Remember Lost in Space? That's Robbie. Come on. Look at in Philippians 2:12. Look at this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what?
Fear
and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works good pleasure in you if you allow him. Look at verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Can you Can you have a decent conversation without arguing, without debating, without challenging? I remember my former pastor said, a couple could be arguing because one thinks they're right. One says, no, I'm right. No, I'm right. I'm right. And then one could be so right, they lost that person and they become wrong because they were so right. Instead of humbling yourself, say, you know what? Okay, let's reason together. No, but you, no. I'm right. Look at this. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Our generation is perverse and crooked. Can I get an amen? I was just sharing with you the lady that was around the corner from me, sitting on that bed. Bleepity bleep, bleepity bleep, 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 bleep. Man, I wish I would have recorded it. It was an hour nonstop of her talking to her son and just bleepity, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep. And the lady behind me was crying in tears. Stop. Tell that lady to stop. She's hurting my ears. She's abusing me. I had no answer for this lady. It's amazing. Amazing. Look at this. Crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. God is saying, let your light shine so bright. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, you know how you're going to win your friends, your neighbors, your relatives? Let your light shine. Let your light. They need it. Listen, how many of you invited people to come to church? All of us have, right? Come on, man. Come on. Come and hear a word. Come and get saved. Come and get baptized. And a lot of them will say this. Yeah, I'll see you there. Yeah, yeah. What time does it start? Oh, I'll see you there. And they never show, right? They don't show. Yeah, it's good. I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. Oh, yeah. And so, the only Bible study, the only Jesus they're ever going to see is you, your life. That's right before them. You see, every one of us in this room has a sphere of influence. There's people in your life that I may never meet in my whole lifetime, and vice versa. There's people in my life you guys will probably never meet in my sphere of people. But God has placed us to have a sphere around us of people around your life that God has called you to witness to share the gospel with. And so now we have no more excuse. Can I get amen? No. We've been saved. We've been called. And so we need to share. We need to sow. We need to do those things to watch God do what He's going to do. And so let's look at the cleansing and the transformation. In John 17, Jesus, it was written down by John, it says, sanctify them by your what?
Truth.
Why? Because your word is true. Listen, everything that's written in your Bible is true. God won't lie to you. Unfortunately, people in your life can lie to you. And you know what's more critical and more devious? When you lie to yourself. Huh? When you lie to yourself. Wow. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Right here, look at this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as is a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. Glory to glory, meaning God's taking you from here, and now He's taking you there. And then after a while, then He takes you there. He takes you from glory to glory, meaning the battles that you go through, He's allowing you to experience victory so that when that new battle comes, He's equipped you and He's with you, and you're going to face another challenge. You're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. How many love testimonies of what God has done in your life? Don't stop sharing what God is doing. My brother back there, I see him back there. Minister Marty back there. He's teaching Bible studies on Friday night, every other Friday, with a group of men from other churches. You know why? Because that's the Holy Spirit working in him. And he's hungering after the things of God. Sister Jessica is feeding the homeless. Ain't nobody tell her to do that. She does it because she loves God. Can I get amen? Amen? Many of you are doing things for the work of the ministry. We got Brother Caleb that many churches he goes and worships. And then he has a job that blesses people like you heard earlier. Wow. So he has the best of both worlds. Can I get an amen? Wow. You see, when you allow God to do those things in your life, he will take you from glory to glory. And he'll allow you to go through things in life so that they don't surprise you. You will say, I've seen this before. God, I know you're with me. Let's go through this together. Did you know that whatever you go through, you're not alone. And he won't allow you to be alone. Can I get amen? He's with you. He'll always be with you. So let's go back here. Let's go back here now. Let's look at the power of the Holy Spirit that does the transformation. See, you have to let the power of God. You can't do it on your own. You know how you take a dog to an obedient school? Because they bark too much. They maybe bite. You take them to go see Caesar. Okay, you guys know that, right? Okay. There's no school for us to go to. Yeah, there's no training. We don't have to take a class and say, oh God, help me stop cursing. Oh God, help me stop being angry. There's no classes for that. You know what it calls for? Being obedient to God. Being obedient to him. Say, God, take this from me. I'm going to surrender everything to you. Now help me, God. Because I need you at this very moment. And that's when he comes through. You know why? Because you've tried everything else. And when you've tried everything else, that's when you know now you got to go to God because he can do it. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church here. 1 Corinthians, look at this. 6 through 9, this is, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I don't know that lady that was bleepity bleepity. I don't know if she's ever going to get saved. But that wasn't the fruit of the Spirit. That wasn't love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, goodness. It was none of that. It was bleepity, 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 bleep. Man, 24. It just kept flowing out like it was so dark. It says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Look at this. Neither fornicators. These are people that are having sex without marriage. Idolaters that idolize things. They put things before them and move God out of the way. What idols in your life that takes precedence over God? Think about it. There's so many things here in our country that'll keep us away from God, or at least put them in front of God. Look at this. Adulterers. That's right. You know what? Here's how deep Jesus got. Jesus got deep. He said, even if you look at a woman, you've already committed an adultery if you looked at her in the lust of your heart. In other words, you see her naked and you're lusting over it. Oh, come on. He said, you already committed the adulterous act just in your own heart. You didn't even have to go do the physical act. Help us, Jesus. Nor homosexuals. Although, I remember when we were at the Temple Beth Shalom. I preached a message on that, and this man came up to my grill after service. I got family members that are in that. How dare you? I said, bro, I'm just a mailman delivering the mail. I go, don't hammer me. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. Look at this. No homosexuals, no sodomites. That's a worse homosexual. A sodomite. That is perverse. That is debased. That's, man, I can't find the most corruptive word for that. Yes, yes. Oh, it's depravity. Depraved. That's the word I was trying to find. Being a sodomite. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. People that love to start fights. What up? Orale, ese, que pues, ese. Yeah, who you mad dogging, ese? You know, oh yeah, revilers. They just want to start a fight. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom. None of these folks will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you know people like that, it's our job to go rescue them. It's our job to tell them about Jesus. They don't have to live like this. But God wants you to open up your mouth and tell them. Or they're going to go to hell. Yeah, I know. Hell's a harsh word. But guess what? Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. Do a word search. He talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. My. And such were some of you. Oh, come on. I was the best of these.
Me too. I was up almost a
pastor. Oh, yeah. And such were some of you. But here's the good news. God, how many love good news? Look at this. But you were washed now. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of what? God. So now, when we stand before God, we've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. He doesn't see that sin no more. Aren't you so blessed? That when God the Father looks down, He doesn't see your sin. Guess what He sees? He sees the blood. Hallelujah, that washed away your sins.
Thank you, God.
By faith, when you cried out, God washed you in the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
Woo! And when He washes you in the blood of the Lamb, you become His. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to think of things and we're going to make mistakes. We're going to go through all that. But guess what? You're His eternally.
Thank you, Lord.
And He will take care and chastise you when He needs to, but He'll keep you on the straight and narrow.
Thank you, God.
Why? Because He has a better plan than what Satan had.
Amen.
Satan will use you, abuse you, and then he'll pull over and kick you out of the car. Get out. I'm done with you. God will pick you up.
You,
and so 1 Peter says this, that because we're here temporarily, make the best use of it. Use this salvation that God has given us for purpose. Because we're here but a short period of time. Did you know that if we, by the grace of God, live here, live till you're 80, 85, maybe 90, then praise God? But there's no guarantee we'll get that old, right? But since we're alive, and there's still vitality in us, share the word. Look at this right here. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And then he says, elect. Turn to your neighbor and says, you've been elected. You are elected. We are the elect. We are the elect of God. You are the elect of God. Look at this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In what? Sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Whoo, man. Man, aren't you so glad that you're in that number? You're in that category with Him. sanctified, washed, huh? Working on you. Did you know that he's working on you every day? Mm-hmm. Every day. We haven't arrived. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He's working on us. Thank you, God. And so the greatest example was Paul, the apostle. He was the greatest example of being transformed. Did you know that he was a religious guy? He was the attorney of the day. He was from the line of the tribe of Benjamin. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught by the top rabbi of the day. He knew the scriptures. He knew the law of Moses. He knew the old New Testament, front and back. But he didn't have Christ. So he was a religious zealot. That's what he was. A religious zealot. You know, there's people that are religious that don't have the Spirit of God in them, and they look like, wait a minute, there's something missing. Yeah. The Spirit of God is missing. They're religious. Oh, yeah. They know how to say hallelujah. They know how to say praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, they know all that. But a lot of them are not saved. You see, what God has to teach us is this. Let's look at key principles of Paul's sanctified life. One of them was crucified with Christ. You know what that means? Are you dying to self every day? Can you learn to die to self? Can you say, oh God, help me and kill this ugly thing in me that doesn't want to line up with you, that won't obey you? Oh, come on. I've shared this before, especially when there's heartache and breakup. You know, whether it's married or boyfriend, girlfriend, you know what happens? Instead of just, okay, they broke up, instead of just taking time out and say, you know, let me re-examine my life and let me get close to God, and, you know, what do? They jump right back into a new relationship, thinking that's what is going to fill the void. That's wrong. You need God. God will help you. God will sustain you. God will restore. He'll renew your mind. Paul anchored his new identity in the book of Galatians. He shifted his life, saints, entirely from serving the flesh to living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find it in Galatians right here. Look at this. Look what he says. I have been what? I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can we honestly say that we've been crucified to Christ? Paul was. Only by the grace of God that I've been walking this walk for 37 years, because I'm learning how to crucify myself to Christ. I haven't arrived. I'll never will arrive. I'll never be complete till he comes. But the way you're going to learn how to truly live the life he's called you, you got to crucify yourself to Christ. It doesn't mean you get nailed on a cross and you walk around with a cross on your back. No. Not like the people in Mexico that they crawl on their knees for 100 miles and they're all bleeding until they get to the church. No, that's not what that means. That means dying to the ugliness in you, that's in you, and say, I'm giving it to you, God. I want to crucify this ugly thing that's in me. Look at this. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He goes on to say, I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness that comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So in other words, if we're doing it through the law, in other words, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, then guess what? It's all in vain. It's got to come through Christ, who allows us to choose to be obedient. Here's the thing. God, the way God is looking for obedience from us, it's not about the do's and don'ts. We all know that Christ laid down his life for the church, didn't he? It's repeated throughout Scripture. Christ laid down his life for the church. He gave himself to the church. He laid his life down. It's a role model of marriage here on earth as well, that the husband and wife have laid down their life for one another, for Christ. Okay? So, the way I apply this, I'm going to share you what works for me. Does it work for everyone? I'm just doing what God said to do. But what works for me in my marriage is this right here. Instead of finding the fault in Yolanda, instead of finding all her inadequacies, the things I don't like, the things that, and then making something of it, and then having contention with her. No, you know what I do? I love her unconditionally. I love her, and I don't want to see that. I just want to bless her and love her, and guess what? I get more than that than to contend with her. Can I get an amen? See, when you love someone, then guess what? You can have them eat at the palm of your hand. Because all they're receiving from you is love and tenderness and kindness and goodness. You're telling them how much they're appreciated, how much they're loved. And let me tell you, that goes a lot further in life than to condemn someone. So I've learned to crucify myself to Christ and to love her like he has loved the church, like Christ loved the church. And when you do it like that, you're going to have a blessed marriage. You're going to have a blessed life. But if you're the one that said, man, put them on. You threw a jab, now I'm going to throw a right. It's not going to work. You got to die to self. Okay. I heard someone say, thank God I'm not married. For you singles. No, you love him.
Yes, amen. That's right. That's my husband.
That's your husband.
That's right.
Jesus is your husband.
Thank you, Lord.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
You love him no differently. God has everything covered.
Thank you,
look at this. I live now by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see that? Then Christ died in vain. Praise God. So, we have to look at this. Pursuing the goal of being transformed, of being renewed, of living a sanctified life. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Not that I have already attained or am ready perfected, but I press on. Say that with me. I press on. Meaning, you keep going with all your faults and failures, with all your mistakes. Okay, say, God, forgive me for that. Help me. Help me. As you grow, God is going to allow you to go deeper with him in the things of God. And you'll be, next thing you know, I'm not that same person I was a year ago. A year ago, that used to anger me. Now it doesn't. Why? Because God is allowing me to grow in grace and mercy and love. He's teaching me how to exchange conversations with my children, with my spouse, with my friends, with my co-workers. It's all about relationship. Remember that. We don't live on an island by ourselves. We live around people, right? And so we have to deal with one another. But how we deal with one another is how it's going to make it work. Yes, even with all our shortcomings, and we all fall short, the Bible says. But look at this. He said this, but I press on. that I may lay hold of what that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God has a hold of you. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Look what he says. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, what happened back then? Don't even think about it no more. It's done. It's over. If someone wronged you, forgive them. Move on. If there was something that he delivered you from, don't go back there again and do it again. Keep pressing. Why? Because there's a prize to obtain. And whatever God has for you is so much better than any man or woman can give you here on earth. I want his best. How many want his best? I want his best. We're coming in for a close. So overcoming is through grace. God's grace. Rather than relying on our own strength, Paul embraced his weakness so that the power of Christ could rest on him. And this is the last scripture we're going to read, and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at this. And he said to me, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. For my strength is made what? Perfect in what? In weakness. So when you come to him humbly and you're broken and you're weak, he will make you strong. He's not looking for the proud peacock to go, what up? No, he's looking at you. You will fall on your face and cry out to him. Look at this. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Paul had infirmities. He had a thorn in his flesh, and yet he was still preaching. We all know what he went through. He was robbed by thieves, beaten with iron rods. His own people turned on him. Isn't that something, your own people turning on you? He went through all that. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me just say this. That's, if there's anything to covet, you know, God says, you know, we shouldn't covet this or covet that, and, you know, covet your neighbor, cover your neighbor's wife, all that stuff he says. But the one thing I do covet is his presence living in me. I want that every day. I want that the moment I wake up. I want that before I go to bed. I want to feel his presence every day. Because I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But I want to feel his presence. I want him. Look at this. That's what he says. Therefore, gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Those same desires he has are my desires. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what?
Strong.
So I leave us with three questions, and we'll close. Number one, is your approach to sanctification through a humanistic worldview or through a biblical worldview? Ask yourself that. Would you rather be sanctified through the Word of God or by HBO, MTV? Number two, does the way of this world have a more attractiveness to you than the things of God and all his views found in Scripture? If the world's more enticing, that's where you have to go to God and say, God, I want to be more like you, God. Help me. He will help you. I shared with you when I first got saved, I didn't know what to do at the time, and so I had Charger season tickets. And I would have to leave early from church to go watch the game. And one day, I was driving down Ramona, down that what's that road? Wildcat Road. I heard God clearly say to me, are you ready to give those to me now? And the moment I did, he opened up a door in ministry. And if I wasn't obedient to that, Steve, I would have never invited you to my home fellowship. What was it, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And you would have never got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You would have still been on crystal meth.
That's right.
If I wasn't obedient to that, if I didn't give up those tickets, because as soon as I did, Pastor Leo approached me and says, hey, would you like to put a prayer team together for all three services? 7:45, 9:30, and 11:15. He goes, I'm going to do a series on the book of Acts. And I need a prayer team for every service. So me and Yolanda, we were there for the three services. Then we came back in the evening at 6. And then we did the one on Wednesday night at 7. So we were in church five services. That's how we learned to serve. That's how we got a hold of God. This is why it's driven in us now. That serving Him all these years now, it's not a task, but it's a call. Remember that. It's fulfilling the call in your life. Never look at ministry as a task. Oh man, I'm going to get burned out, man. You missed it. It's a call. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And so when He called us, that 7:45, we did an altar call. And Brother Steve, you came up with your brother. I invited you to the home fellowship. And you was jacked up from the... You was toe up from the flow up. This guy right here, Steve, was so lit up on crystal meth. And when we baptized him 20 years ago, the Holy Ghost fell on you. And delivered him. Delivered him. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost delivered you, brother. Hey, you've never been the same. I remember you weren't the same because every day you would call me. Hey, brother, what's up, man? What's up, man? You know, I said, oh, it's Home Bucket. Yeah, man. And you've been a wonderful friend ever since, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been a faithful friend.
Amen.
You've been there. You've been through the thick and the thin.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
You've seen what this church has gone through.
Yes.
And yet we're still here, right?
That's right.
We're still here preaching the gospel.
That's right.
We're still raising up people.
Right.
Two wonderful brothers that God's raising up. Yeah. That's probably good. I'm going to pass the baton.
Come on.
Right, Brother Marty? Get ready. Get ready. Because it's full time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And when you learn to die to yourself and do the things of God, there is fulfillment and joy like you've never experienced. I don't regret one second. I was talking to Yolanda the other day, and we were here in the kitchen setting up. It was a Saturday night. And we were just looking back at all the years we've been serving the Lord. And we looked at each other and we came to an agreement. This is not a task. This is a joy to set all this up. This is a joy to serve. This is a joy to see the faces come in, to hear God's word, to be blessed, to be prayed for, to let them know their purpose. Because our motto is here, what? Save, disciple, and send out. Many have been sent out. And so, for us in here, tag you're it. Tag you're it. Take what God has given you and do what God said He would do. Is do a beautiful life. Create a beautiful life within you. A life that you never thought that He could develop. Because His way is better than my way. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I think he does a better job. Praise God. Praise God. And so, I'm gonna ask Brother Caleb if he could play something soft. If you guys need any prayer, we'll pray for you. But I'm going to close. And I want to thank and praise God for Facebook and YouTube that has joined us. We hope that you receive this message with gladness. We hope that that you will take this and all the scriptures that was given to you, that you would just glean off them, apply what's needed as far as application for your life. But know that God is in total control. And maybe, just maybe, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may have this joyful life, a life set apart for God's purpose. Pray this prayer by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sin. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Woo, he's worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the